So good to be here this morning at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. So glad to see so many of our members as well as so many guests. So glad to have you with us this morning. One of the most famous games in the world is the game of chess. Because you don't have to be able to run fast. You don't have to be able to lift heavy objects. You just have to understand rules and understand strategy. So if you're going to say, what is the key to chess? You protect your king. Protect the king. You have 16 pieces on a chessboard. A king, a queen, two rooks, two bishops, two knights, and eight pawns. The lesson this morning will be a 16-point sermon. Just joke. It's not really going to... Not going to have a 16-point sermon. The goal of chess is to put your opponent in checkmate. What is checkmate? Went to a chess website and got the definition. Checkmate is an attack on the king where there is no way for your opponent to finish his turn and no longer have the king attacked. This takes strategy to be able to move these pieces that do different things around the board to ensure that their king is no longer able to move. And sometimes this takes sacrifice. It takes sacrificing a key piece to be able to get to where you are wanting to go. If you want to win the game, you protect your king, but it always involves sacrifice. We as Christians are supposed to protect Christ as well as our hearts. So the world is going to try to attack both on a regular basis. Therefore, it is imperative that we set our priorities so we can have a good strategy for sacrifice. Truth be told, we sacrifice things regularly, don't we? We sacrifice hours in the gym, sacrifice hours of time at work or working from home, on work from the office. We sacrifice our time away from our kids. We sacrifice our finances to take trips, to go on vacations. Are we sacrificing the right pieces to get what is truly best for our soul? We see the precedent that is set in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, and that is one that should resonate with us today concerning sacrifice. But first things first, we have to understand what we must do. And if you've become a Christian, you already understand this, but sometimes it takes a little bit of reminding. We look to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be reading chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. But when we went into the watery grave of baptism, understanding that we were lost, understanding that we needed a Savior, and understanding that there was a plan that was set in place for us to have our sins washed away, we understood that that involved being obedient to the commandments of God, and the commandment where our sins are washed away is that of baptism. We see that in Romans chapter 6 that baptism represents the death, burial, and the resurrection. We see that we go into the watery grave of baptism as a sinful man and come out clean, new. We understand that repentance, being part of the plan of salvation, involved turning away from a sinful life. And we turn away from a sinful life, we belong to God. Where does that mean that God should be on our priority list? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this not as we expected, but, and boldness is emphasis of mind here in the Scriptures, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. First and foremost, if we're truly going to understand sacrificing for God, we have to understand that we first give ourselves to God. The Macedonians far exceeded the expectations of Paul. And this explains where the heart is supposed to start when it comes to giving to the Lord. It starts with giving yourself to God. In Romans chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, Paul wrote, "For none of us live to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." When we became Christians, we are no longer our own. We were made new. We belong to God. And our actions and our sacrifices have to reflect who we belong to. Remembering where we started, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia in chapter 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We died to our old self. Our goals, our aspirations, our sacrifices should all face toward God. When we give ourselves to God, we don't worry about the cost of giving. For we have the promise of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if we have a pile of money. It doesn't matter if we have the newest and the fastest cars. If we are obedient to the gospel, we're going to be with Christ. We're going to be with God for eternity. And that should make everything that people on this earth find as valuable when it comes to riches seem nothing more than rags. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." I'm not saying you can't make a living. That's not what I'm insinuating. But I'm saying we can't chase our goals and aspirations to be money and expect to be pleasing to God. We have to chase God. We have to run toward God to be pleasing to God. Having us give of ourselves first to the Lord allows us to follow the natural path of then us to others. So this is a mark of discipleship. John 13, 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, but you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." If we look out for the best interest of those who are around us, people can see Christ in us. If we're selfish, if we chase our own personal goals, if we do things that are detrimental to the cross, I hope that people don't associate us with Christ. The first step of discipleship is to love those who are around us. And that takes taking the focus off of ourselves and looking around for the greater good. We see a mark of the true love of God in this as well. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 to 21. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If we give ourselves to God as we should, we get rid of that me first mentality." So why do we talk about us belonging to God? Because It involves sacrifice to God. If I belong to God, that sacrifice goes along with that. For 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, we see that David wouldn't give something that didn't cause a sacrifice on his part. But the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. The principle which David acted in is essential, and it underlines true sacrifice in really giving to God. Is it truly a sacrifice if it costs us nothing? David understood that it would be dishonorable to God to bring something that wasn't truly a costly sacrifice. Some people, the only sacrifice that they give is to show up to this building or to buildings like it. There is a difference in the church and churchgoers. There is a difference. If the greatest extent of your Christianity is throwing in spare change and going through the motions and showing up at the building up to 3 times a week, you are not a member of the Lord's church. You are a church goer. You are a church attender. If we are going to truly be Christians, that involves sacrifice. David didn't bring things to God that weren't a sacrifice. We'll look to Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 10. In the first few chapters of Leviticus, we see the different types of offering for different types of sin. In Leviticus 1:10, if his gift for a burnt offering is from the flock, from the sheep or goats, he shall bring a male without blemish. If they miss the mark, they brought their best to make up for it. Because that is sacrifice. They didn't bring the sick, the lame. They didn't bring the ones that they just didn't care for. They had to bring their best forward to God. The sacrifice is given of the Old Testament with that sweet-smelling aroma was of obedience. And obedience involves sacrifice. So, we see the problems in Malachi when the sacrifices that they were giving weren't their best. We see the priests having a lackadaisical attitude toward God. And we see that poisoning the people where they didn't have reverence. When you give your best, you remember who you belong to. So what about our giving today? Many people use budgets. And I believe that is good. It's a good idea. I'm glad I married a CPA. Keeps our budget nice and going. But when looking at our budget, do we look to what we're going to do first and then give God what is left over? Or are we looking to what we are truly going to sacrifice to God because He deserves it, and the luxuries of life come later? I like a vacation as much as the next guy does. But I shouldn't sacrifice a large portion of my finances at the neglect of God. Just put apart smaller and plan out longer. If we're truly going to sacrifice, God has to be the priority. And that doesn't only come with financials. What about time? What about time? Is the only sacrifice that we make for the church right now? When it comes to time, is it now? Tonight? Is it Wednesday? Are we saying that it is a great sacrifice for us to give up 3 hours to God, and that we shouldn't expect more? Are we investing time in our fellow Christians? When someone is obedient to the gospel, it is not that person's job to get to know seasoned Christians. It is seasoned Christians' job to get to know that new convert. And when people say, well, you know, they just haven't come my way, there is something beautiful. It's beautiful, let me tell you, that Grady Duncan does. And it is called a directory. Long table in the back. Contact any member of the congregation whenever you desire. If your idea of sacrifice is people calling you, you have the wrong idea of sacrifice. Are we sharing wisdom that we have with others? I encourage our young Christians, meet with wise Christians. Glean from their knowledge. Glean from their years of study. Make that a goal. Learn from people's past mistakes to not fall into those again. When we understand the priority of our time, there is nothing that gets between us in worshiping our God. Nothing. There is nothing more important than worshiping God. And if there is something that you put before God when it comes to worshiping Him who sent His Son, you're sacrificing the wrong pieces. I'm in no way saying neglect important bills. I'm in no way saying neglect your family. I'm saying start off with what you can. Some people are on fixed incomes and they give the best that they possibly can. If that is you, this does not apply to you. But if you can say, you know what? This lesson is touching my heart. This week, I'm not going to go out for one meal. And I'm going to give that $6-7. I'm going to sacrifice that for God. That's a great way to start. And some of you may say, JJ, where are you eating for $6 or $7? That's kind of a cheap meal today by means of inflation. Start small with what sacrifice is. I'm saying, think about your time. We'd love to host a youth devotional. Let's open our home to a youth devotional. Or hey, we'll bring snacks for a youth devotional. We'll give up some extra time to impart wisdom to our youth. Or to come together for activities. Sacrifice starts with understanding who we belong to. And the impact that can be made can be great. All of this is made easier when we understand who we belong to. We understand that all already belongs to God. All already belongs to God. We look to 2 Chronicles 29 verses 14 and 15. And what we see is, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. The jobs you have are because of God. Because of the blessings of God. So when we say, well, I'm going to hold on to my money and do what I want to do with it, you are withholding from God. I encourage you, have the mind that David had. Everything already belongs to God. It's not wrong to have a good time. I don't want to be a stick in the mud. Y'all know I'm a fun guy. Not a mushroom, fun guy. We have to consider what David did in 2 Chronicles 29. But we have to also remember what this life is. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In the grand scheme of things, that is our life. That is our life. In 2 Chronicles 29, David knew that Solomon was going to be the one to build the temple. David wanted to do it, but God told him it was going to be Solomon. But he was obedient. We see that he encouraged those around him to help. He pulled his resources. David didn't just tell those who were around him, "You need to give because my son is going to be king and build the temple, but you need to do it." He gave of his resources. Look at the things that needed to be donated. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, onyx, turquoise, precious stones, fine stone, marble, and all of these in large quantities. That's in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 2. It wasn't just a little bit. It was large quantities of these things. But David didn't just let those around him serve. He gave himself. He gave of his riches. And then he called on those people who were around him to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to remind them what belonged to God. And in verse 6, the response is they were willing. David gave a charge, and the people were willing not only to meet that charge, but we find that they exceeded that charge. They rose to the occasion. If we want to see the work of this congregation succeed, if we want to see the North Jefferson Church of Christ succeed, we sacrifice financially. We sacrifice of our time. And we sacrifice giving wisdom. We share what we have learned. So let's look what happens a little later in 2 Chronicles 29. Then David said to all the assembly, "Bless the Lord your God." This is after they had given. This is after he had made that call and said, I want you to do this. And they did it. This is what happens after that. Then David said to all the assembly, "Bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord. And on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord. 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices and in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. After they had committed, after they said, "We are going to meet those expectations and we are going to exceed those expectations," they gave a great sacrifice to God the day after. Let us consider the mindset of the people after David's charge. How did they view their belongings? It wasn't how much should I give to God. It was how much of God's money should I keep. It's the opposite of a lot of mentalities today. Not how much of my time should I give to God, because it was going to take time to build that temple. How much of God's provided time should I keep? This mist that we have been given, how much are we going to return to the Father? Collection is a reflection of a divine connection. I'm going to say that one more time so you can write it down if you're taking notes, because that's good stuff. Collection is a reflection of our divine connection. If you have a good job and you think that you were sacrificing and you threw a fiver in the collection plate and you call that sacrifice, that's between you and God. But how we give of our money, how we give of our time, tells us if we understand who we belong to and understand whose things they are. Some give all they can. Some could give a little more. And some could utilize the opportunity to embrace sacrifice. For us to grow at the North Jefferson Church of Christ, we need elders with vision. I want to tell you something, brethren. We have elders with vision. And when it comes to the budget that they put forth, if we are going to meet that vision, we need to give to the best of our ability. Because of God's money, we're able to do things with our youth. We're able to do things in our community. We're able to provide literature. We are able to reach places around the world and many other things. But it is imperative that we sacrifice and do as they did in Chronicles. We give and exceed expectations as we can. If you're already giving your best, again I reiterate, don't give more and eat dog food. That's not what I'm saying. If you are sacrificing now, that's great. But only you know if you're not. And that goes for time as well. Only you know if you can do more. I was told before I got to North Jefferson, a little over 3 years ago, there used to be youth devotionals in homes. We don't see those anymore. Let's bring that back. They said there used to be different times we got together. Let's bring those back. Let's sacrifice our time. Let's sacrifice our finances. For us to grow, we need to follow the vision of our eldership, because they are thinking souls and they are thinking about your heart. Much like chess, if we are willing to make sacrifices and sacrificing the right pieces, great things can happen. If we sacrifice our time, souls can be reached with the gospel. Brethren can be encouraged. The work of the church can go forward. If you sacrifice time to study your Bible, you are going to be more able to contend for the faith. Sacrifice the right pieces. And if we can make a sacrifice of our finances, we can be involved in more programs like L2L. We can support works that spread the gospel around the world and support the works we are involved with at home. If we are willing to sacrifice the right pieces for the right reasons, we not only protect our King, but protect our hearts, and we can lead others to Christ. Only you can determine if you're sacrificing as you should. I hope this lesson has pricked your heart. If you're angry, that wasn't the point of the lesson. If there's a way to take this, I want it to be positive. I want it to be encouraging. I want it to be a charge like David. And if you realize I haven't been doing as I should, you don't have to come forward. You can make that change. You can make that change today. But if you need prayers to make that change, if you're hurting, if your heart is sore, if you're weak in your faith, let us pray for you today. Let us get you on your spiritual feet. Let us lock arms and charge together. But if you're not a Christian, there's no amount of sacrifice that you can make that can wash away one sin. You have to become obedient to the gospel. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible tell us to become Christians? First and foremost, you have to hear, and that should encourage us to be evangelistic, to look for opportunities. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 4:12 says there's no way to heaven other than through Christ. We have to repent, as Christ said in Luke 13:3, and as Peter said in Acts 2:38. We have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, as stated in Romans 10:9-10, as well as what the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And we must be baptized. We must be obedient in baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. And as I referenced before, Romans 6:3-4, it is at baptism that we walk in a newness of life. If you haven't done as the Bible says to do, I encourage you to be obedient to the Bible this morning. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.